Well, good morning, church family.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to Harvest Worship Center, a study in the Word.
Amen.
We're in the middle of an in-depth study on love, and today's message is number 19. The title of today's message is The Difference Between Human Love and Agape Love, or the God kind of love.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today to study your word together. We're thankful, Father, for the anointing upon this study and for all those that will join us through Facebook Live and through our internet page as we continue to go through this study. A lot of people have gone to our webpage and to Facebook to study these, to review them again, and we're so thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful for the impact that this study is having on our lives individually and corporately. We thank you, Father, for this season that we're living in, because the church is supposed to be shining so brightly right now, Father. And I know that even in the midst of the storms of life and the various troubles that come, your word always shines brightly.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for teaching us, the church, how to love with your love. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. As I said, today's message title, I better turn my page. Today's message title is The Difference Between Human Love and Agape Love, or the God Kind of Love.
Amen.
Well, what is the difference between the two? We're going to take time today to go through looking at both. Agape love versus human love is like looking at the difference between wheat and tares in the parable that Jesus spoke on the wheat and the tares. Wheat gives life. The tares are weeds and hinder, take, or steal life. The God kind of love always gives life. It always brings life.
Amen.
No matter what it looks like, it always gives life. Love never fails. For human love, always receives of itself. It's self-centered. So it acts like a terror. It hinders us in fulfilling who we really are in Christ and hinders the work of God in and through us. It hinders the Holy Spirit from manifesting himself when we walk in human love. Human love is emotional. It's tied to our emotions. Human love is conditional and it needs reciprocal action.
Yeah.
Or it needs a return. If the return is not there, then there is no love. It can turn into a hate. It turns into the emotion of fear and worry. It turns into selfishness. It turns into depression. It turns into fear. If that love is not returned, human love is not returned, then there's all kinds of things happen to that person because it expects something in return.
Amen.
So many people, when they give a gift, they expect a gift in return. Well, when you give human love as a gift, it has to have something back. It has to, or that person doesn't like me. They hate me. They're unkind to me. Nobody cares. All these things start popping up, and the enemy will help you with that.
Yeah.
He will help you start thinking that way. And what happens to your life then? You become isolated. You don't like yourself. You don't like other people. You start turning in on yourself as worthless. When that love that you put out as human love is not returned, that's what happens. So it's conditional. Human love always wants the things that are good and lovely. It's self-centered. It's greedy. It's thinking only of what we get out of this. It's looking at money and at things and at all these different things that hinder us in our love walk. It hinders us because we're so self-centered that we don't recognize the very good that's around us. We don't recognize the good that comes our way. We don't recognize the gift that's right in front of us because we're so self-centered in our walk. Human love always wants to be pleased. It's self-centered. It has to be pleased. It has to have gratification. Well, agape love is not dependent on understanding or what you think or feel.
Amen.
I'm not saying that in the sense that you're arrogant. I'm saying it in the sense of this person that's walking in agape love is not basing it on what you do. It's based on what they do. They love even when they are not loved back in return. It's not self-centered. It's not based or dependent upon anyone understanding that love. It's not based on how that other person receives it. God's agape love flows outward to everyone that's around it.
Amen.
It has no conditions for it. It's unconditional. Agape love is more interested in pleasing others than it is in pleasing itself. It lives its life. This person that's walking in agape love bases his pleasure on pleasing others, on having them blessed. Whether they are or they feel like it or not, agape love is more interested in blessing others than it is in blessing itself.
Right.
It knows that as I love others, God's going to love me.
Amen.
The more love that flows out from me, the more love flows into me from God. I am never without being loved. I am loved more by loving others than I am in loving myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's self is a very small limit that we have. If I'm basing everything on what I receive back, everything on what I get out of it, everything upon the treasures that are in this so-called treasures that are in my human existence, if that's my limit, then I'm not going to get very far. My limit is very low. But if I'm unlimited in outward flow, then I'm unlimited in inward flow. You see what I'm saying? If there's no limit to what's going out to others from me, then there's no limit for what God pours into me. That's what we supposed to be saying, what we should be seeking in our life. Agape love is more interested in pleasing others than it is pleasing itself. Agape love does not care how you respond. It doesn't have to have a positive response. It just flows.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know life is a lot easier when things just flow? You know, you develop a habit in life. It's habitual for you to love others. And if it's habitual for you to love others, guess what's flowing into you?
Amen.
You don't have to have a return from someone else, because God is returning it to you. And God is unlimited. He is absolutely, totally unlimited in what He can pour out in your life. The only limit He has is what you do. The only limit to God's love flowing into you is your own limit of what flows out of you to others. That's the only limit He has. Don't you know that's a blessing to the Father?
Yeah.
Who is love when somebody loves with His kind of love? I say, well, that's not possible. Yes, it is. Because He placed Himself in us to love that way. That's part of the mission of the Holy Spirit in our life, is to reveal the Father to us. And when we reveal the Father to us, He reveals love because God is love. He reveals the Word to us because God is the Word. God and His Word are one. And if His Word is one with Him, then what is the Word? The Word is love. So the more I flow with my Father, the more I love Him, the more love flows through me to others, the more He can love me, the more I have to flow outward. That's what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
A continuous flow. And we talked a few weeks ago about how when love is flowing out, hate and fear cannot get back in.
That's
because
right.
The force of the love flowing out pushes depression, fear, and worry away.
Amen.
The outward flow from this person that's walking in agape love has such pressure behind it, it forces fear, worry, and depression out of its way. It can't get in. A sure sign that you are limiting yourself by walking in carnal human love is if you're walking around in depression, fear, and worry.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then you need to check up on your love walk, not on what's going on around you.
Amen.
you check up on your love walk. You check up on, are you walking this love walk? And we'll talk about what it looks like in a few minutes if I get that far. I'm going to mention what I mentioned last week. We talked on the four characteristics of God's love last week. And those four characteristics is it's unconditional, it's one-sided or outward, it's not self-centered. It's free love or there's no condition to it. It is free, it allows you to be who you really are, which is a love creature. And it's not conditioned on based on anything of the past or the future. It's based only on who you are in Christ and His love for you. It's free love, there's no cost. It is other-centered love and it's not self-centered. Those are the four characteristics of God's love. So as we're looking at this, keep that in mind. And it's like anything else. If you're familiar with a computer at all, or categories of any kind, even if you're not familiar with a computer, when you're studying something, you make a title here, and then you start developing categories. You might have three categories.
Outline.
And then under those three categories, you have subcategories. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes under the subcategories, there's other subcategories. But they all lead back to that one main topic. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the study of love is. We mentioned four characteristics of God's love. But under every one of those characteristics, there are subcategories that are related to each one of those. And when we study what love is in our life, we're going to look at some of those characteristics of what our love is supposed to look like as we're walking this walk. There are many other categories that are related to those categories. So they're like a file tree on a computer. You have a file, and you have files, then you have subfiles and subfolders, you know, all the way down. It's the same way. When you study love, there's other things that are related to it that you're studying that falls into place. We may or may not touch on all of those. So we got some basic main categories that other categories are related to. So, quick recap before we go on. Agape love versus human love is like looking at the difference between fear and worry, between love and hate, between darkness and light, between the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. Human love is conditional and needs a receptacle. Human love always wants the things that are good and lovely, or it's self-centered, greedy. Human love wants to be pleased. It has to be pleased or it does not love. Agape love is not dependent on understanding or what you think or feel. Agape love is more interested in pleasing others than it is in pleasing self. Agape love doesn't care how you respond to it. It's going to love you anyways. When you love someone the way God loves, you do so regardless of his or her actions. And I need to remember that. You love him or her through good times or rough times. Good times and bad times. Through no matter what that other person is going through or what he does to you, your love is focused on him. It's not conditional. Okay. That's what agape love looks like. Well, the same thing hinders the word from functioning in our life also hinders love from functioning. I already mentioned it. God and his word are one. So when you hinder, and God is love. So when you hinder the word, you hinder love. Mm-hmm. When you hinder the word and you hinder love, you hinder your faith. In Mark 4:18, Jesus, and this is the Amplified Classic, he talks about the things that hinder the word. So we're going to briefly look at that. This is a study in and of itself, and we did it several months ago on the sower sows the word. But this is the parable on the sower sows the word found in Mark 4. We're going to start with verse 18 because we're focusing on what hinders our love walk. So what hinders the love walk hinders the word, hinders our faith. What hinders faith, hinders our love walk, hinders the word. So it's the same things that hinder. These are also signs that I'm walking in the characteristics of human love, not God's love. So if you see these things functioning in your life, you're not walking in agape love. And Jesus said, and the ones, the verse 18 of Mark 4, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitful riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Or you could say, choke and suffocate love, and it becomes fruitless. The very same things here that are listed will choke your love walk. And if it chokes your love walk, it's going to choke the word. And if it chokes the word, it's going to choke your faith. Are these things functioning in your life? What priority do they have in your life? You can't be walking the love walk if those are more important to you. Every one of these are self-centered. They're focused on self. And that's the issue. I'll read it again so you get an idea of what the hindrances are. Let's just focus on the hindrances in verse 19. The cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Your love was not fruitless, but it became fruitless because you allowed these self-centered things to work in your life. Now, you can allow one of those and not the others. So we need to be diligent to do a checkup on ourselves as we make decisions, especially if we find other people coming against us all the time and we're walking around without peace in our life. Why? Our prayers are not being answered. Why? You can go right here and find out the answer to it. It's almost always related to one of those things. Almost always. If there's no joy in your life, these are probably why.
Yeah.
More than likely. If your relationships are in chaos, that's probably why.
Yeah.
More than likely. Especially if you pray and pray and pray, either you're not praying according to the word, or you got these things functioning in your life. Your faith is not working. So the word doesn't work. And if you don't correct them, they're not going to be corrected. And you, I can't. Yes, you can. Whenever the word tells you to do something, you can do it.
Amen.
You either don't want to do it, you don't know how to do it, you don't take the time to do it, but you can do it.
Yes.
You focus on your love walk and it'll correct those things.
Amen.
You focus on your walk with the Father and your love for Him. These things will fall like dominoes. And you'll find your entire life changed. You want revival? This is the way to get it.
Amen.
Revival is more than hooting and hollering. This is revival.
Yep.
And if you get this functioning in your life, you'll be revived. And it'll touch somebody else, and then you'll have a corporate revival. Okay. So the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age. Don't we have a lot of distractions right now? They're all around us. We can love God and pray and then focus on that stuff that's going on and constantly think of all the things that are wrong and wind up right in the middle of it and miss our love walk.
Yeah.
And not be an answer to it. The only way we can be an answer to that mess or even have our prayers effective towards it is to walk the love walk. And if I walk the love walk, I'm going to see that thing totally different.
Yes.
Than the way the world sees it. I'm going to see it through the eyes of the Father. I'm going to see it through love.
Amen.
Now that's not going to go along with what the world's saying, but it's going to go along with the Father.
Amen.
And then your prayers will start working and you'll see change.
Hallelujah.
If nowhere else, you'll see it in your life.
Yes.
So, then the cares, the anxieties of the world, the distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight in false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. It didn't say riches were bad. It says when you focus on that, Instead of your love for the Father, when you focus on the riches, you automatically become worldly connected. You move from God's love to carnal love. You're loving money. You're loving riches. You're loving authority. You're loving position. And when you do that, you cannot be spiritually minded.
Right.
Your prayers will not work because you're focused on the wrong thing. And all of those things, none of those things, the position's not bad, the money's not bad, but you can't focus on them as a God. You can't focus on them as a desire in your life. That can't be where you place your desires. When you place your love on the Father and you walk in His love, those things follow. The position follows because He brings you up to the place you're supposed to be. Not to the place your carnal nature wants you to be. You can be a janitor and be the best man in that whole building. Be the one with the most authority there. The boss doesn't have all the authority. The Christian does. It's walking in love. He can change that whole thing. He can change that whole business simply by walking in love. He can do that. The one that has the most authority in any area is the guy that loves God and walks Amen. In love. He has the authority because he has God's authority. God's positioned him on a high level, even though man does not acknowledge it. And that man walks around in peace and joy when others do not. And that's the way it is. So don't let the delight, false glamour, and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep into your life. It doesn't just jump in there. It creeps in. It's slow. One thing at a time. One decision at a time. Love works that way too. I want love to creep in. I want love to flow in, like a river to flow in, but it's a decision at a time, a thought at a time, a mistake and a repentance at a time. I keep myself by repentance. So let's look at Luke 21:34, the Amplified Classic. Jesus talked about this same thing again, but in a different way. He said, but take heed to yourselves. Now what's that mean, taking heed? It means you judge yourself. You look at yourself. You correct yourself. Take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and the headache and the nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. Now, I've said it many times, there's no such thing as a suddenly. That was Luke 21:34. We're going to read it again here in just a minute. But notice it says, come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. There's no such thing as a suddenly. Suddenlies are processes that were not observed or noticed. Everything has a process, no matter what it is. There's a process to everything. It may not be visible. I may not recognize it. But the process is there. And that's part of this creeping in. There was a creeping in going on all along. And that creeping in suddenly came to manifestation. I suddenly saw it. I suddenly saw the result of this thing. And I have no idea how it happened or how it got there. It was a suddenly. In my perspective. But all along, that process has been going on. It's been going on unnoticed. Let's read that again with that thought in mind. Luke 21:34, Amplified Classic. But take heed to yourselves. Not someone else take heed to me, but take heed to myself. And be on your guard. Guard your heart above all that you guard. Proverbs 4. But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest. So in other words, if I don't take heed to myself, and if I don't guard my heart, then these things are going to happen. Lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed. weighed down with the giddiness and the headache and the nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. These things creep in because I start focusing on them. As I focus on them, they gain more power. And all the time, I think I'm right. I think I'm okay. And at that moment, I may be. But these things, through a process, are creeping in. And then suddenly, the day's upon me. Suddenly, the problem's here. Suddenly, the fear is here. Suddenly, the worry is here. It was in process all along because I didn't take heed and guard.
Right.
See, that's the problem. If I'm not taking heed and guarding, if I don't know what the love walk is and how to recognize it, if I don't know how to correct myself, I'm going to function in those things. And I'll blame God every time, and it's not God. I did it.
Amen.
I did not focus on my love walk. I focused on my self-centeredness. I focused on the things that hinder, the things that choke. That's what I did. And it's nobody's fault but my own. And I'll blame God. It's not that other person's fault. It's my fault. I'm the one in authority in my life. I'm the one that made that decision. I'm the one that chose to be carnally minded instead of spiritually minded. I'm the one that did that. I'm the one that didn't lay down my life and love anyways. I'm the one that didn't spend the time and the word to correct myself. Not God. God didn't do that. He's not guilty. He gave me the tool to use.
Amen.
He gave me the word to use. He gave me the instructions. But if I don't get in the word, I'm not going to know it.
That's right.
And I'll be deceived. And I'll think, well, it's normal to walk in fear here. Well, everybody's depressed these days. No, they're not.
No.
You don't have to be. The only reason you're depressed, and I hate to say it, but it's because you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you focus on your love walk, your love for the Father, and loving others, depression leaves. Because you're not self-centered anymore. You're too busy flowing out to be paying attention to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is miracles and signs and wonders start happening all around you. People change. And the suddenlies you have are not negative suddenlies. They're blessing suddenlies.
Amen.
How many of you want a blessing suddenly?
Amen.
The word talks about these blessings come upon you and overtake you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I want a blessing to overtake me. In other
yeah.
words, it's outrunning me to get to me. It's overtaking me. I can't run fast enough to get away from it. Do you want to get away from a blessing? I don't.
No.
Slow down. Let it be blessed. Let the love flow in and through you instead of being fearful and running away all the time. Well, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That is a list of what the love walk is, how you recognize it. And we're going to look at it both ways. The first way we're going to look at it is the agape way. We're going to look at it as a checklist. And if you'll use this as a checklist in your life, you can only find it this way in the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. It's the only one that lays it out this way. There are other good translations, but they don't put the detail into it that the Amplified Classic does. It amplifies those words in such a way that it explains exactly what's being said. So if I use this as a checklist in my life, if I confess it every day, if I check up on myself using it to see how I'm responding to things, if I do that, the Holy Spirit will start pointing out to you areas where you don't. Especially if you ask Him to. If the Holy Spirit is pointing out some place where you're not doing something, it's because He wants you to change that.
Amen.
And if God wants you to change it, He's giving you the power and the authority and the ability to do it. There's nothing can stop you from making the change. You can change it if God says to do it. Because He's given you everything you need to do it with. You may not want to. You may not want to put the effort out. But if the Holy Spirit's drawing your attention to something, it's not to condemn you. It's to get you moving on this thing and to make a change, because you're the one that's going to have to change it. God can't unless you start doing your part.
Amen.
Then it can change. So let's look at it. We're going to read it, and then we're going to confess it. Okay, I confess this every day for, I can't tell you how many years. Probably close to 20 years. But anyways, I take this literally in my life. And I can't tell you how many times that God has pointed something out in my life that I'm not doing. Or something where I made a mistake. Or I allowed my carnal nature to take over. I can run to God then and say, God, I'm sorry. Father, I'm sorry. In Jesus' name, I repent of that. And by your grace and mercy, I thank you for forgiving me for that, because you already have. I receive your forgiveness. And now, Lord, I receive the anointing to correct that in my life. And then you thank him for it, because he's willing and able. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Amplified Classic. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. There is nothing more powerful than love. Nothing exists that's stronger than love.
Amen.
God's love.
Yep.
Now let's look at how we confess this. If you'll take the time to make the Word of God personal, you lay claim to it. This is mine. God said it. He commanded me to love. He commanded me to walk in love. He commanded me to lay down my life. He commanded me to love just as he loved me. He commanded these things to me, for me. So he gave me the ability to do it. So because he gave me the ability to do it, I'm going to lay claim to it and declare it as who I am. And I'm going to correct myself wherever I need to correct myself. That's a decision that I need to make. So what am I supposed to be like in my life? Let's look at it as we confess it. Wherever love is, wherever it says love in this, you put yourself there. Because I am a love creature. As he is, so are we in this world. God commanded me to love. I am a love creature. He created me that way. So I am laying claim to this. And as I lay claim to it, I put myself there. I endure long, and I am patient and kind. I am never envious nor bowl over with jealousy. I am not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I am not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. I am not rude or unmannerly, and I do not act unbecomingly. God's love in me does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for I am not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of an evil done to me, and I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. God's love in me bears up under anything and everything that comes. I am ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and I endure everything without weakening. God's love in me never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I lay claim to that in Jesus' name, and Father, wherever I fall short, I repent of that, and I ask you to help me correct that in my life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that's who I'm supposed to be. That's the way I'm supposed to walk. That is the love walk. Now here's the way most people walk. Are you ready? I do not endure very long, and I am not patient or kind. I'm always envious, and I boil over with jealousy. I'm always boastful and vainglorious. I always display myself haughtily. I am conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. I am rude, unmannerly, and I always act unbecomingly. I do not love. I always insist on my own rights and my own ways, for I am self-seeking. I am touchy and fretful and resentful. I always take an account of an evil done to me. I always pay attention to every suffered wrong. I rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. I do not rejoice when right and truth prevail. I don't bear up under anything or anything that comes my way. I'm ever ready to believe the worst of every person. My hopes are fadeless. My hopes fade under all circumstances. And I do not endure anything without weakening. My love always fades out. It always becomes obsolete, and it always comes to an end. How? I don't want that in my life, do you?
No.
But isn't that the way we live?
Yeah.
That's carnal love. That last confession there is a carnal nature. It describes the way the average person, including the Christian, walks. In one way or another, you will find yourself there.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself there. But I like the other one much better. Man, I'm going to say that again just because I want to negate that in some of our thinking. We need to compare the two. What is the difference between human love and God's agape love, the God kind of love? Okay, so those of you listening, those of you who are here, confess this where you can with me. Make it your lifestyle to change and to make it become part of who you really are, a habitual life. So I'm going to lay claim to this again. I can do it this way. Michael endures long, or I. Put your name in there. Actually, if you want to do this as a confession over your mate, over someone else, if you want to make it a prayer for someone, you can put their name in here. Terry endures long and is patient and kind. Terry is never envious nor bowls over with jealousy. See, you're confessing this over somebody. You're putting their name in there, especially if it's an enemy of yours. Or your husband. Man, confess it over your husband or wife. Confess it over your children. Francis's love endures long and is patient and kind. Francis is my oldest son. Put their name in there. Lay claim to it by faith. But right now, I'm going to do it for myself. And sometimes, when I do my confessions, for the most part, they're we. We. We includes me. And I'm including everyone on my prayer list. And if you're on my prayer list, I'm confessing it over you. See, I agree with Michael. We endure long and are patient and kind. We are never envious nor bowl over with jealousy. We are not boastful or vainglorious, and we do not display ourselves haughtily. We are not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. We are not rude or unmannerly, and we do not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for we are not self-seeking. We are not touchy or fretful or resentful. We take no account of an evil done to us. We pay no attention to a suffered wrong. We do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but we rejoice when right and truth prevail. God's love in us bears up under anything and everything that comes. We are ever ready to believe the best of every person. Our hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and we endure everything without weakening. God's love in us never fails, never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Amen.
Amen.
And when we do that, I got to ask myself, Michael, do you believe that? Is this who you are? Is this who you want to be? Or are you something else? Now, if you want to know what a Christian that's a hypocrite is, it's one that claims to do that and doesn't.
Right.
This is the Christian walk. This is the love commandment. This is how we are supposed to walk. It's not a this is not a suggestion. This is how Jesus said to walk.
Amen.
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is the God kind of love. This is how we're to walk. And if we're not doing this, we're sinning. If I cannot think the best of you, I'm sinning. If I take an account of a suffered wrong when you do it to me, I'm sinning. It's just that simple, because as He is, so are we in this world. God is love, we are love.
Amen.
This is supposed to be our goal in life, not the opposite of it. I know that kind of sounds impossible, but as I said, it's not impossible. Because God commanded us to do it. And the lover lives in me. I can do this one moment at a time. One repentance at a time. One step at a time. One decision at a time. I can do it. And so can you. I didn't say it's easy, because it goes contrary of our carnal nature. But that's not our true nature. That's our fallen human nature. Our true nature is this.
Yep.
That's what we were created for. How we're supposed to be. This is what the world has to see. And if we see, the world sees us behaving like everybody else, the opposite of this, there's nothing to draw on.
Right.
But if they see this in us, they're drawn to Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this word we've received today. We thank you for the privilege we have of coming before your throne today, and for you revealing your heart to us, Lord. We thank you that this is impacting our lives.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, we're making quality decisions to make these changes in our lives. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.